This is part two, as we prepare for this second Sunday in Lent. The theme is the Transfiguration. So this first text is the call of Abraham, because there you have this notion, you see, of leaving all that is familiar, which is one of the dimensions of Transfiguration, as we'll see. So, the Lord said to Abram, Lech lecha, go for yourself, go, take yourself. Lech is the imperative of halak, to walk, go. From your land, you see, from your clan, from your father's house, leave everything and become a nomad of faith. And all you've got to go on now, go where I show you to go. Lech lecha to all of that, and the answer, vayelech, and he went. Obedience. Whoever this man was, Abram, his name, Abiram, my father is exalted, Abraham, God makes his name, the father of a multitude. He can't be a fiction of the imagination. He's, you know, in those days, the traditions would be carried on. There's an Anglican priest over there right now. He oscillates between Syria and Egypt in the small Arab-speaking communities. And he wrote an article, how the storytellers tell the story in the community, the village, the same way they were told 1,000 years ago. And there's not only did there's a storyteller who's an expert, there's a group around who correct him if he makes a mistake. Of course, with us, with the TV and the cell phone and the books, our memories are mush. But theirs aren't. This man, the first monotheist, remember, the first monotheist that we know of. Maybe the Lord had enlightened others. This text is so artfully placed in the book of Genesis. After every crime, starting with Adam and Eve, God provides a solution. He dressed them in garments of skin. He gave them a promise of restoration one day. I will put enmity between you and the serpent. Cain kills Abel. God puts a sign on him to protect him, though he banishes him. So that, you see, we could go through them all. Lamech, Noah. After the flood, there's the promise. So, then comes the Tower of Babel. Now, in Hebrew, Babel means Babel. Babel. But in another brand of Semitic languages, Babylonian for one, Babel means the gate of God. In Jerusalem, the gates are Bab this, Bab that, because in Arabic, the word for gate is Bab. So Babel means gate of God, but to the Jews, it means Babel, Babel, Babel. And that's important in understanding this organized attempt to have a world government. Let's all get together, let's build this city. Well, the tower is high as heaven, so we'll be safe. And we can run our own lives. We can have our own little world government right here, now, under our own control. So they start to build the tower, and the irony in the story begins. So God came down to see what they were doing. This tower was going to go up to heaven, huh? And he said, you know, oh, the mess they're going to make of themselves and of the world. So I'm going to have to destroy it. So he came down and destroyed it and scattered them. Now, this is a universal calamity. Where's the universal solution? In the text, it goes on, and so begot so-and-so, and so on. Like, life is just going to go on. And that's the rest of chapter 11. Chapter 12 is our text for this Sunday's Mass. out of nowhere. We know a little bit about Abraham. He's got a wife, Sarah, who's barren. You know, he's a son of Terah, and so forth. We don't know much about Abraham, except he's a nobody, and he has no children. And God comes into the scene and just says, and Adonai said to Abraham, just burst in. And he says, go. You just heard the text. I will make of you, a barren man, a great nation. I will make you a blessing. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you. Curse those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. Curse those who cursed you. All the families of the earth shall find a blessing in you. The word blessing comes five times there to offset the number and mention of curse up to this point. Abraham undoes his universal calamity and is the root of undoing all the other calamities that have preceded it. The one choice by God of a childless man who was a nobody. And what does he say about that? I will make of you a great nation. He's childless. You see, I will make your name great. He's nobody. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. May you be as blessed as Abraham. What an irony, right? And so, Vayelech, and he went. Now, this becomes the model for faith. You see, obedience is based on faith. The reason we don't obey God very much is because we don't pay any attention to Him. We don't live our lives relating to Him. And therefore, we don't know how trustworthy He is and how we can obey Him. There'll be another test of Abraham's faith and obedience, right? Chapter 22. And the text starts by saying, and God put Abram to the test. We know this is going to be a test. Abram does it. And then he says, Abram, Abram, Abram. I think I've told you this before. And Abraham says, Hineni. Hineni. I'm at your service. I'm here. What do you want? What I want is this, that you take your only begotten son, your beloved, and sacrifice him on a mountain that I will show you. Vayelech, it's not in the text, but he took them, he took the fire and the wood, and he went. Faith. Now we're all supposed to be children of Abraham. Paul is very keen about that. There's another text where, again, this promise of posterity is made before, obviously, the text in 22 where he's supposed to kill that person in whom all the blessings have a concrete physical existence right before his eyes. And God says, no, you offer him up. Where's the fulfillment of all your promises? You trust me. Why would God be so hard? Because that's the way we grow. Heroic trust in God. And so, it says, you see, take your son and go, the other one. This first one, you see, just leave everything that makes, in this part of the world, almost to this day, especially in the desert in this day, if you're outside your family, your clan, your tribe, you're very vulnerable. Anybody can kill you. Take your camel, do what he wants. Because there's no cops out there. Either you are with a group of people or you're going to be taken advantage of. So go, take your wife, you know. And Lot went with him. But that's about it, you know. Then they're still childless. And God says to him, fear not, Abraham. I'm going to make you, your children, you know, make you a great nation. Well, Abraham's getting tired of waiting, right? So he says, in effect, God, look, I understand. You know, sometimes we get carried away. We make promises we can't keep. Why don't we just settle? Eleazar, my foreman. And that would be the rule, the law, according to the Uzi tablets and so forth that we have. The foreman would take over if the man didn't have a son. So here, we'll let Eleazar be there. And God says to him, not that one. Come with me. So he takes him outside. Yeah, I'm acting it out, but it's very Semitic. Come here. Now, you see those stars? That's how many of your children are going to be. He's childless. And Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as justice. Tzedek. Now, you know that tzedekah, justice, means living the right relationship, honoring the relationship, the truth of every relationship. The truth of the relationship to God is to believe him, to trust him. That's the truth of the relationship. And so we have this text, you see, where Abraham believes God. Paul says about the Genesis 15 text, thus Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He's quoting Genesis word for word. Realize then that it is those who have faith who are the children of Abraham. Scripture, which saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, foretold the good news to Abraham, saying, through you shall all the nations be blessed. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, who had faith. And a little later on in the same letter to the Galatians, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant, heirs according to the promise. You are Abraham's seed, literally. That's who Abraham is. Why is he here at this first Sunday in Lent? Because we're going to have to change our lives. And we're not going to do it if we don't trust God. If you're, you know, if somebody's committed adultery, they got to stop. Somebody's stealing, they got to stop. Somebody not taking care of his family, he's got to stop. He's got to go from there and move out. Based on the promise of God the Father, I promise you, I will take care of you. I promise you, I will bring you to eternal life. But you have to obey me. And you won't obey me if you don't trust me. And you won't trust me if you don't know me. So you better get to know me. Well, how do you do that? You come and talk to me every day. And we'll get to know each other. Then if I say something, you'll trust me. But if you're running around, tending to your own needs, your own desires, your own whatever, if you get in the car and you turn on the radio because you can't stand silence, you're in trouble. You've got to get to know me. Because when you know me, you will trust me. And when you trust me, you will obey me. And when you obey me, I can make you holy. And if you're a priest and I make you holy, I'm making thousands of other people holy through you. That's how powerful I am.